Judges chapter 16. And if we could choose a verse from this passage we have already read this morning to concentrate on, it would be that verse 4. Judges 16 and verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he, that is Samson of course, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Matthew Henry said, "The burnt child dreads the fire. Yet Samson, that has more than the strength of a man, in this comes short of the wisdom of a child." What Matthew Henry was saying was that Samson had already been burned because of his fleshly exploits. But Samson returns to the fire to be burned again. And Matthew Henry says that Samson comes short of the wisdom of a child. It appears that Israel's judge did not learn any lessons from his previous fleshly exploits. For the final terrible chapter in Samson's life begins with these words, "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." It came to pass afterward. After he had committed that terrible sin with that harlot in Gaza, it says it came to pass afterward. After a person has fallen into deep sin, and that sin is exposed, the afterward can be very bitter indeed and be a bitter experience. The afterward can become a terrible nightmare that makes the offender wish they had never yielded to temptation in the first place, because they can hardly live with the afterward, the aftermath of their sin. All the tears they might shed, all the shame they might feel, all the remorse they might express, cannot erase from their minds, and indeed the minds of others that know about their sin, cannot erase from their minds of the memory of their terrible deed. But unfortunately, the afterward for Samson did not seem to mean too much to him. Instead, afterward for Samson meant walking the same unholy road he had walked before. Before, his destination was Gaza. This time it is the valley of Sorek. And the result was the same. The man who always seemed to play with fire was burned again. Now, as we consider this event and this chapter in Samson's life, our attention is drawn, first of all, to Samson and his love. Poems have been written. Songs have been sung. Sermons have been preached about Samson and Delilah. Samson and this woman whom he loved in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Here we read about Samson and his love for this woman. But isn't it interesting? You never read about Samson and his love for the Lord. Yes, he was one of the Lord's children. We know that from Hebrews 11. We know that he was a Nazarite, had taken that vow to live a separated life unto the Lord, to live a holy life, and yet not once do we read that Samson loved the Lord. We do read that he loved this woman in the valley of Sorek. Had Samson spoken of his love for the Lord? Had we been able to read about Samson's love for the Lord? I believe we never would have read about his love for Delilah. Had he been in love with the Lord, he never would have been in love with Delilah. She was a bad woman. She was a wicked woman. And some commentators believe she was the same kind of woman that we read about that Samson met in Gaza. How much we love the Lord will indeed determine how we live. How much we love the Lord will determine how we live. 1 John 5 verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. The person who loves the Lord keeps the Lord's commandments. Samson obviously did not keep the Lord's commandments. He disobeyed, he completely ignored God's commandment with regard to separation and to living a holy life. For we find them with some of the most ungodliest and wicked of women in all of the land. Oh, if only we had read of Samson loving the Lord. Do we love the Lord? Can we put our hand on our heart this morning and say, I love the Lord? For if we love the Lord, we will keep his commandments. We will obey his word. We will live for him. With regard to Samson and his love for this woman Delilah, I want us to look at the place where he evidently met this woman Delilah. It is written that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Now the valley of Sorek is between Ashkelon and Gaza, two of the five great cities of the Philistines. And it's not far from Zorah, where Samson was brought up. Ashkelon and Gaza, cities of the Philistines. Once again, Samson is living dangerously near to the borders where the enemy dwelt. But that's not all. The valley of Zorak. Zorak means vineyards. The valley of vineyards. Samson was a Nazarite. Part of the vow of a Nazarite was not to have anything to do with the fruit of the vine. He was not to go near a vineyard. As far as Samson was concerned, it was forbidden ground. Remember the last time he walked among the vines? Chapter 14, verse 5. As he walked amongst the vines, behold, a young lion roared against him. Go to the place that is forbidden by the Lord, believer, and you can be sure the lion that is seeking to devour your soul and mine will roar against us. You're bound to meet the lion. And the lion roared against Samson. If he hadn't have been there, he wouldn't have encountered the lion. If we don't go to those places that are forbidden by the Lord, we'll not encounter the lion. Samson has gone back to the vineyards, forbidden ground. He didn't meet the lion this time. But could we say that he was conquered by a lioness? He was conquered by Delilah. No doubt a child of the devil. That valley he had entered and met this woman. In many ways, for Samson was the valley of death. Turn please to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs 9, verse 17. Proverbs 9, 17. Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Sin is sweet and pleasant to the taste of the old nature. But verse 18 says, but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Death is there. Death lingers in the valley of Sorek. Death lingers in that place that is forbidden by the Lord for us to go to. The wages of sin is death. And yet here we find Samson. And he's in the valley of Sorek, the valley of the vineyards, where he should never have been. And it led to Samson's death. He had been conquered not by an army of the Philistines. He had been conquered once again by a woman. And led to his death. Not only do you have the place, you've also the person. Now of the three women who Samson was involved with, that is recorded here in Scripture, this is the only one that is named. We're not told the name of his Philistine wife, not told the name of the harlot in Gaza, but we're told the name of this woman. Her name is Delilah. This bad woman that brought Samson to ruin is here called Delilah. Delilah. It's an infamous name, isn't it? People who know very little about the scriptures know about Samson and Delilah. A name that is associated with wickedness and betrayal and corruption. No mother would call her daughter Delilah. Yet we read, Samson loved Delilah. Samson loved this woman that was wicked. Some think that she was his wife. I don't believe so. For if Delilah was Samson's wife, he would have brought her home with him to his house. But where is he? He's in her house. He's in the house of this wicked woman. He's in the house of another harlot. She was a wicked, sinful individual who brought Samson to wreck and to ruin. But still he loved her. Such is the depraved nature of man. For the depraved nature of man will love that which will eventually bring him to ruin. Not strange. The ungodly, the unconverted man will love that which will eventually bring him down to hell, namely his sin. It'll be the ruin of him, yet he loves it. His sin, his vices, his drink, his wicked practices, he will give anything for them. Why? Because he loves these things. Even though they will be the ruination of him. Samson's carnal love for Delilah led to his ruination. I wonder, when Solomon wrote those words again in Proverbs, what was he thinking about Samson? Turn please to Proverbs chapter 7. Quite possible he was thinking about Samson. He's dealing here with the danger of entering the house of a harlot. Verse 24, Proverbs 7. Notice how Samson begins this little section in this chapter. Hearken unto me now. Listen to me. He's sounding out a warning. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. He wants people to listen. He wants us to read this word. He wants us to give attention to this word. Believer, let us give attention to this word this morning. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. That's plain enough. No wonder Solomon said, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. And it's as if Solomon was writing about Samson. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. And that's true. See it all the time. In the news broadcasts, men of position and power and authority entangle themselves with wicked women and they bring them down. Bring them down. And they lose everything that they held precious, their character, their witness and their testimony, and their good name ruined by one person. Notice also the plan. The Philistines had a plan. It's already been brought to our attention thus far in our study. They wanted to know how they could capture Samson and eventually put him to death. He was a thorn in their flesh. He had been raised up of God, of course, to begin to deliver Israel. And here we have their plan, verse 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So every one of the lords of the Philistines, the five cities, covenanted to give to Delilah 1,100 pieces of silver each. That works out in today's money to about $500,000. They were going to give her $500,000 to betray Samson, the man who said he loved her. Notice it was a subtle plan. If you look carefully, you will see that there is something very familiar about this plan. What did the Lord say to Delilah? They said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth. It's a familiar plan. Because if you turn over to chapter 14 and verse 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they said unto Samson's wife, entice thy husband, that he may declare unto us the riddle. Same old ploy. His wife of an uncircumcised Philistine was to entice Samson to discover the secret, the key to the riddle. Entice him. The same ploy is used. Verse 5, Judges 16. Entice him. And see wherein his great strength lieth. The word entice means to persuade. Persuade him. Persuade Samson. To give up the secret of his strength. And Samson surrendered to the persuasive words of his wife, and he surrendered again to Delilah. You know, that reminds me just of the ways of our adversary, the devil. He uses the same plan all the time, and so often we fall for it. Like a fisherman, if he's using one particular kind of bait and he's catching fish with it, he's going to continue to use that bait. The devil will do the same. He uses the same bait all the time. He'll use the same plan. He comes against us with his subtlety and his craftiness and his temptations. He wants to pull us down. He wants to ruin us. He wants to destroy us. We need to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to be wise to the ways of the devil. And when he comes against us with the old familiar ploy, whatever it may be, run from him. Flee from him. Because he'll pull us down. Saul's plan was a simple plan. It was revealed to Delilah. The plan was simple. They wanted to prevail against him and bind him that they might afflict him. Or the word afflict means humble. They wanted to humble him. His enemies wanted to bring him into bondage. They wanted to beat him. They wanted to bind him, and they eventually would blind him. Simple plan. Satan's plan for us is just as simple. There's nothing complicated or intricate about the plan the devil has for you and me. He's the roaring lion who goeth about seeking whom he may devour. That's his plan. Simple. He wants to devour us. He wants to ruin us. As was said, he wants to ruin our character, our witness, our testimony. That's what he wants to do. To once again bring us into bondage. Peter mentions this in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in and overcome, the latter end is worse than them for them, or with them, than the beginning. It's the reference there is to the believer becoming entangled again in the old life. Going back to the old sins. The devil enticing us. Using his old familiar plan. Making us believe we'd be happier, we'd be better off. The way we used to be in our old sinful ways. And so, many become entangled. It's interesting, the word entangled is the same word we find in 1 Peter 3 and verse 3 regarding the plaiting of the hair. When the lady plaits her hair, you get that visual picture of being entwined again with sin. Entangled. The plan is simple. It's what the devil wants to do. Wants to get us back into the world again. Is that not something we fight continually? Do we not fight against the world? And fight against the spirit of backsliding? Oh, we may not have backslidden openly, but it was in the heart. There's that continual battle. Lord, save me from backsliding in heart. It's a battle all the time. And we're pleading the blood all the time. And seeking forgiveness all the time. Because we know what the devil's plan is. Get us back to where we used to be. But Peter tells us the latter state is worse than the former. There's nobody more miserable on the face of the earth than the backslider. Because they've been spoiled for both worlds. They don't really enjoy their sin. And they're certainly not enjoying the Lord. The latter state's worse than the former. And then we notice the price. It may be written that Samson loved Delilah. But there's no indication that this love was reciprocated.
absolutely no indication at all, not a hint, that this woman loved Delilah or loved Samson. Instead, it is obvious that he had, as we read in Proverbs 6 and verse 27, he had taken fire into his bosom and was burned. When Samson took Delilah into his bosom, he took fire. He took fire into his bosom. And he was burned. Terribly burned. As we said last week, he was a judge in Israel for 20 years. Yet we know nothing of his years of judgment. Talk about Samson today. Immediately you think of Samson and Delilah. Samson and this wicked woman. Not Samson and his righteous works and righteous walk. No, Samson and Delilah. And here, he's in love with this woman. For when the lords of the Philistines offered Delilah, offered to give her money for discovering the secret of Samson's strength, she readily agreed. Verse 5. Now, if we needed any proof of the truth of that word in 1 Timothy 6 and 10. If we needed any proof that the love of money, how many times have you heard that verse misquoted? People say, money is the root of all evil. No, it's not. The verse reads, the love of money is the root of all evil. Big difference. It's not a sin for a man to prosper and have money. The sin lies in the fact that a person loves money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And for money, Delilah betrayed the man she pretended to love. For money, Delilah betrayed this man who loved her. People will do anything for money. We know that. We know that in this wicked, corrupt society, people will do anything for money. Samson was betrayed by a woman because she had a love of money. Judas had a love of money. He was the treasurer with the disciples. He held the bag, we're told. And he would steal from the Lord and his disciples. Why? Because Judas had a love of money. And here is Judas. And what does Judas do? He betrayed the one he pretended to love. Betrayed the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver because he had a love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. And that root was in the heart of Judas, and that root was in the heart of Delilah, and that root is in the heart of many an individual today in this world that do anything for the love of money. I don't understand it. This verse explains it, of course. You have high-powered businessmen and they're earning millions every year. Honestly. But then there's the temptation to earn a few more million by underhand dealing. And they get caught. And they spend years in prison. because their love of money. What horrid wickedness. What horrid, terrible wickedness the love of money is the root of. So as Christians, let us not develop, let us guard against a love of money. Paul said, I have learned. So this is something he had learned. He'd been in the school of experience. Something he had learned. I have learned in whatsoever state I am in to be content. To be content. And poor Paul, yes, he was poor as far as this world's goods were concerned, for when he was in prison, he requested that a cloak be brought to him and parchments that he might write on. That's all he had. That's all he had. Yet he says, I'm content. And many of our great missionaries, I think of C.T. Studd, who gave everything away. And he was a rich man, he gave it all away. Went to the mission field. Depended on the Lord to get him his fare for the ship. Depended on the Lord to meet his need in the mission field. When he finished his days, he didn't have very much. He learned the lesson Paul learned, to be content. The little book by a Puritan, I have it in my library. It's called The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment. Paul had found it. Samson hadn't. Neither had Delilah. So as Christians, let us not develop that love of money. Let us be like Moses. Moses, of whom it is written, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And Moses had everything at his feet. Everything that Moses could have wanted was there. But he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses knew there was a greater reward waiting for him that silver and gold couldn't buy. It's good when the Lord prospers us and prospers men, prospers their business. We praise the Lord for that. That's not the sin. That's not the sin at all. You look at Abraham. Abraham was a very rich man. It was the Lord who blessed him. But it's when we have a love for the money. That's when it's a sin. And Delilah had a love of money. That's Samson's love. Now we'll have to leave Samson and his lies till next week, for her time has gone. Let us unite our hearts now in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious Father, we thank Thee for the word. Even though, Lord, we read and consider the mistakes men made and the sins they committed, yet, Lord, we thank Thee for these warning lights, these beacons that shine in this dark world. Lord, again, we pray, lead us in a plain path. It was the hind's feet. That, Lord, as we walk, as it were, on the edge of a precipice, as we go through this world, strewn with stones and boulders and snares, give us hind's feet that will be sure-footed. And, O Lord, lead us and guide us in the path of righteousness for thy name's sake. Bless thy word to our hearts. Be with all, Lord, as we make our way home. May we meditate upon the word today. And, O Lord, return us to this place tonight, that we might look for Christ. And may we see him. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now, forever. Amen.